지단다 까발랑서 지도와 다 가르쳤나 다 로릭스도 잡고도 쓰대시 다 람림스 레알아도 시도스 어떤데 초아진 것때 이나양 거 뒷면 말해 람림스도 가나 슝뿅아가 여신님보 지네 소 동지 샤고 지샤고 람림 빼다고 시샤바다 다 슝소서 약보지 마치나 람림 차등 빼다고 시샤고 갖고 이 말해
Sometimes there are people who may feel that, you know, the lamrim, the stages of the path of enlightenment is easier to handle and it's easier to understand. But, you know, when we talk about something like, you know, the study of Buddhist philosophy, such as this particular subject here, the study of mind and awareness, they think that, oh, this is much more difficult than lamrim. Yeah, some people may feel this way, isn't it? But it is not. But things are not like that. In order to understand the lamrim well, to have a good understanding of the lamrim, the stages of the path to enlightenment, it is essential to gain a good understanding of these various philosophical treatises, because the lamrim. And the subject matter of lamrim is essentially the essence of all these great philosophical treatises. You know? So in order to really know the lamrim well, you really have to know all these philosophical subjects.
Yeah.
So one of the goals or the purpose of studying Lorik here, the study of my mind and its functions, right, is to enable us to help us gain a better understanding of the Lamrim teachings.
Mm-hmm. 그 남 대라도 깨비 죽 주소 실라 넣고 그래 세시 그봐 디카르도 대라 당보 주소 시기는 당보지 온복고도 봐 세시 와시.
Okay, just to give you and just to illustrate, you know, what I've just said, yeah. And then in order to understand the lumbering well, you think you understand the lumbering, but in order to understand the lumbering well, you have to understand philosophy well. For those of you who remember, at the beginning of the lumbering, in the section where, you know, it talks about the kind of things and activities that we carry out during the post-meditation session, it talks about, you know, also the causes. What are the kind of causes and conditions we need to bring together in order for us to develop calm abiding and special insight? So the lumbering talks about the four prerequisites here. And the first of which is restraining one's sense faculties. Yeah. So restraining our sense faculties is one of the prerequisites for developing calm abiding and special insight. Any of you have the Lamrim Shemo here? Anyway, I'll just read from you, otherwise it's not very...
Anybody?
iPad. I think it's better to read from that translation, yeah. In order for you to appreciate. Paise, I can borrow your iPad. How come your one not very sticky? Okay, it says restraining the sense faculties, yeah. So it says maintaining your mindfulness, guarding the sensory faculties. After the six consciousnesses arise based upon their sensory objects and faculties, the mental consciousness produces attachment for the six attractive sensory objects or hostility towards the six unattractive ones. So there's such a statement in the Lamrim Chenmo, yeah? So in order to understand this statement, you know, you have to study the philosophical teachings or the presentation on mind and its functions. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, there's no way you're going to understand this statement well. No way. Because, you know, it says here, in order for any of the six consciousnesses to arise, it must depend on its respective sensory objects and sense faculties or the sense powers. So without understanding what the objects are and what are the sensory powers, you know, then how can one understand, you know, this particular statement here?
What can I say? Tejela, tejula, the Ishegi, Ishe, you don't want to know, you want to know, mean, Chardon Gavati. And in Quares, that don't tend to jela shin at the Chapajero, which is
so it says that independence upon the respective sense objects and the sensory faculties, or what we translate as sense powers, the six consciousnesses arise here, isn't it? Right? And then, when what does this do? You know, the mental consciousness produces attachment or hostility, depending on the object involved. Yeah.
다 딘데게 아니지 다 다나 실라 신의 쪽 자라도 주벨라 또는 차단 깨와디 고고야 도와 다 차단 깨데 조다 다 깨디 유당 옹보라 되니 깨유회장 다 당보 가서 다 유회장도 가고야 차단 깨서 유당도 가고야 어 딘데게 다 납자 유매 어디니 말해.
So the advice in the Lamrim is for us to develop a concentrated mind, calm abiding, and special insight. We have to guard our sensory faculties, and that means protecting our mind against such attachment and hostility, and making a great effort not to produce them. Yeah. So in order to develop calm abiding and special insight, we have to guard our sensory faculties. Yeah. In order to do that, you have to understand what are the sensory objects and what are the sensory faculties in the first place, right? So I brought this just as an illustration, just as one of the example of how important it is to study. Yeah? So in order just to understand this statement here, to really understand it, you know, without studying the presentation of mind here, then it's not possible at all, yeah, to really understand the impact, the import of the statement, isn't it? So in particular in Buddhism, yeah, the mind is of prime, it's so important, isn't it? Yeah. Right? Because it is said that everything is the creation of the mind, right? Everything is created by mind. So when we talk about mind, there are a whole variety of minds, and there's some positive virtuous states of mind, whilst there are others that are negative, yeah. And you know, and different kinds of mind work differently, yeah. The way they engage their objects and so forth, yeah. So it is important to understand the workings of the mind, and in particular, it's important to know what types of minds are considered to be correct or valid, and it's important to know what are non-valid minds, yeah, minds that are incorrect, because you know by understanding what are virtuous or positive or valid states of mind, then if you follow after valid states of thought or mind, we achieve the purpose. And we also have to understand that it is by through giving in or by following incorrect states of mind that we do not achieve our goals or our purposes. Yeah. So therefore, it is crucial to gain an understanding of the workings of mind. Likewise, you know, in order to understand what is karma, to understand karma well, you know, we talk about karma in the Lamrim, isn't it? It is important to be able to understand what is mind, what is a main mind, and what is a mental factor. You know, if you talk about karma being mental factor, isn't it? Yeah. So in order to even understand what karma is, you have to understand, you know, the difference between mind and mental factor. And likewise, in the path that is shared with the person of medium capacity, In that section, there's quite an extensive discussion on the afflictions, isn't it? The different kinds of afflictions. So in order to understand the afflictions well, again, you have to depend on this topic here, what we are doing here, isn't it? So what we are going to do here in this module is that we are going to look at the sevenfold division of consciousness. This is sevenfold division. We will go through that very quickly, briefly. And then we will just carry on with the 51 mental factors here. There is a translation of the text on the 51 mental factors which we're going to use in class, yeah. So we will distribute it, yeah. We will probably upload it, yeah. And then you have to download it on your own and print it out, okay?
What in the nation? That's in Bakamid, that in the Chetan Takun of Kassana, Takapala Ko. Chetan Taklui, Namsha City, Kapu Chabiare, Ko Karasana, Lui to Charkawas, Chetan Shabas to Lui to Charkawas.
Can be difficult, yeah. Because in general, it's difficult to talk about mind. Because you know, even you know, just to have an idea of what mind is really difficult. You try to picture, you know, bring to your mind, you know, what is mind, you know, that is really difficult, yeah. And yeah, of course, then we try to understand about the nature of the mind, what is its entity, and so forth. Of course, it is challenging, isn't it? Yeah, and also because there are many new terms, you know, that most of you are seeing for the first time, yeah. So that makes it more challenging, yeah. But you have no choice, but you have got to learn it, yeah. So it depends on whether you see the point on the purpose of learning these terms and this subject or not, yeah. Okay. So on Tuesday, Sui Kim gave us a physics lesson. Yeah? The scientific presentation as to how images are how visual images are formed, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't it right? So there has to be a reflection of light, isn't it? Yeah. Light has to hit the object.
If I'm wrong, use correct, huh?
Right? Isn't it? Or according to Sui Kim's understanding of the scientific position, but he so the light has to hit the light has to strike the object that is being looked at, you know? And then the light is then reflected, you know, back into the eyeball. And then, hence, an image is formed. And according to Sui Kim, I remember you said that the image is formed in the brain, isn't it? Yeah.
Toxin. Tangansa ta ta megi megi jamo sugar kar sugar ta seriba kar lagna kas megi jamo ta ta meg dogda chagan shabi me amo de ne ta wodi ta din nang do pa sugu hai shi ta na sugu wodi
So, you know, the light is reflected off the object that one is seeing, and the light is goes back into the eye, isn't it? And probably it's the iris, yeah? Into, and then the retina, yeah? Right into the middle of the retina is there, right? So, yeah, so there's kind of a, in the retina, there's like the lens where the light is reflected onto, isn't it, right? And this is asserted to be clear form, yeah? It's clear form, right?
Oh, that deep.
So according to the scientists, so this is what the scientists say, isn't it? Yeah, the light is reflected, and then it goes into the eye and the retina, and then the lens. Basically, there's a lens, isn't it? Right, and it's clear form essentially. Yeah. So I'm not sure whether this is the eye sense power that we have been talking about. You know, we have been talking about the eye sense power, isn't it? Yeah. So I'm not sure whether this is the eye sense power. Yeah. So, according to the scientific presentation, right, I mean, there is this lens, right, the retina inside, you know, the RAN lens, that is made up of many minute particles, isn't it? Yeah? Or what we say, I mean, if it's cells, perhaps, right? Cells, yeah. So, this is a form, yeah. And there are many you could say blood vessels and veins and what have you that connects this lens to the brain, isn't it? Right, and yeah, the message is sent via these. I'm not sure what you call it. Nerves, right? Nerves. Optic nerves.
Right. That tindegi ta thanda tindegi juice levela tangse ta lebe ta ani moshe shesh ta thanda lebe ta mumbore serbore kangre se ta kunda ta tindegi thone ta moshe yungaish tindegi.
So the message is sent, yeah, via the optic nerve into the brain, and then the brain processes the information and then is able to, you know, perceive it as the object, perhaps yellow, blue, and what have you, right? So just like how you know, if you when we take a photo, yeah, with a camera of an object, right? The image of the object is imprinted onto, let's say, if you're talking about using a film, yeah, or the negative, yeah. So an image of the object is imprinted onto that, isn't it? So likewise, in a similar way, when the light is reflected off the object and it comes into the eyeball and then it hits the retina, and then you know there's this small little lens there which is clear form, which is made up of many particles, and then image of the object, you know, is kind of like formed on that clear form, isn't it?
It's correct. Huh? Huh, Sugib?
Huh? Okay. Something like this.
Oh, Tokshini. That dine pena kasura. That did the ten de la conuba damaging with Kashinia. The ten zip chick, that mumble serval of sopala, and chick lent to it. The ten Kashin and serval mumbles or remnant at the ten damaging machine.
Sell
the rick damaging. Kashi mumble and serval the zinter and nobody was Kashila, yeah. Napod and carpet some of the gym and nobody knew what was sold. The yard is dishy.
So, and the scientific explanation is that some of these cells, you know, I mean, the different cells have, you know, able to capture or recognize different colors, yeah, isn't it? Right? Some you know, some have the power or the potential to identify colors, you know, to recognize colors such as red, yellow, and so forth, right? So because of the workings of these cells, yeah, so there's some people if some cells are deficient, if they're not working, then you're unable to recognize certain colors, isn't it? Yeah. So that's why you have color blindness, yeah, or partial color blindness. And I'm a very good example. So I don't know which is the eye sense power that we are talking about here. Is the eye sense power the entire retina, or it is one or some of the particles that make up the retina, the lens, right? So because there was a question on Tuesday about what exactly is the eye sense power, and why is an eye sense power a clear form? But the scientific position is the scientific position on, you know, the nature of this lens, you know, which is clear form, yeah, is the same as our position here, yeah, that is mentioned in the text, yeah, that the eye sense power, for example, is a clear form, right? So if you have any question, just one question before we move on. Just one question.
So it was mentioned last Tuesday that was Okay, my question is this, based on what transpired on Tuesday night, what is the, there's clearly a difference between a phenomenon form source and the imputed factor, which is a meaning generality. One is permanent, one is impermanent. There is a difference between the phenomenon form source, which is impermanent, and
form source.
Phenomenon form source, which is impermanent, because it comes under the category of external matter. And the imputed factor of a meaning generality. Example, okay, the example of these two would be the first one, phenomenon form source, would be dream elephant. The example of the second one, the imputed factor, which is meaning generality, your visualization of an elephant. One is impermanent, the other is permanent. So one is a dream elephant, another one is a visualized elephant. These two, one is permanent, one is the first one is impermanent, the second one is permanent. Okay, other than these two, how do we understand the differences between the two, other than them being permanent and impermanent? Because one looks, seems like it's imputed by the mind, the other one appears non-voluntarily in a dream. So will the two eventually merge when one becomes Buddha? I mean, that's not the main question. I mean, the main question is, what is the difference between the two, other than them being permanent and impermanent?
So first we'll go through this one, yeah? I'll come soon. I don't know where to start, huh? Where to start? Talk about the question. How to say that? That jala, thongmar karsena. That you say that, you jian say ji, yeah. That you don't think this, you don't, you jian say ji. That you don't go to tangela,
yeah. Okay. There is what we call object and object possessor.
That digital color, that you don't, you can say, no, that Shepa Ganga, you cannot do it. Shepa Shepa might be choking, you know, to this, you don't, you see, need some of them.
In the division of, in the twofold division of object and object possessor, it's very specific. There's a reason why we say, I speak in such a way. In the twofold division of object and object possessor, all consciousnesses, all minds, fall under object possessor. Every other phenomena that is non-mind goes under object. Okay, So in the twofold division of object and of object possessed, this is how you place things. Yeah. All the minds, all the consciousnesses go under object possessor. Everything that, every other phenomena that is non-mind goes under object.
However,
in general, anything that exists, if it is a phenomenon, it is necessarily an object. In general, right? Remember? Established base, existent, object, they're mutually inclusive. Right? In general, yeah? So everything, every phenomena is an object in general, isn't
it?
Okay, in general, it's like that. Yeah, anything that exists, all phenomena basically, you call them existence, established base, or objects. Yeah, but in the twofold division of object and object possessor, so if we divide whatever that exists into object and object possessor, and then in such a division, all the consciousnesses, all minds, come under the category of object possessor, and everything else goes under the category of object. You see the difference?
When
we talk about object of a consciousness, yeah. So when we talk about objects of a consciousness, there are these three that are, you know, in the notes, they are bulleted. Yeah. Then there's the appearing objects, then there are determined object, and there are objects of engagement. You follow? When we talk about object of mind, we can talk about these three types of objects, yeah. The appearing object, the determined object, and the object of engagement. So let's look at the first one, appearing object. Appearing object is sometimes also called the apprehended object. So basically, appearing object and apprehended object are mutually inclusive.
What
So the appearing object of a direct perceiver, the apprehended object of a direct perceiver, and functioning thing, these three are mutually inclusive. I mean, it says synonymous, yeah, but mutually inclusive, basically. Okay, so that's the case for direct perceiver, yeah. So the appearing object of a direct perceiver, the apprehended object of a direct perceiver, and functioning thing, they are mutually inclusive. But for conceptual consciousness, for thought, yeah. So the appearing object of a conceptual consciousness, the apprehended object of a conceptual consciousness, and permanent phenomenon, these three are mutually inclusive. Okay, then on page 3, you have object of engagement of a direct perceiver, isn't it? So the object of engagement of a direct perceiver and the object of the mode of apprehension of a direct perceiver, these two are mutually inclusive. And the determined object of thought, or the determined object of conceptual of a conceptual consciousness, the object of engagement of a conceptual consciousness, and the object of the mode of apprehension of a conceptual consciousness, these three are mutually inclusive. Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Finish.
Let's look at the table on page 5. Perhaps that will make things a little bit easier to understand. So the first subject, an eye consciousness apprehending blue. So an eye consciousness apprehending blue is a direct perceiver. So it's an example of a direct perceiver, okay? Okay? So what is the object of engagement of an eye consciousness apprehending blue? It is blue. What is the object of the mode of apprehension of this consciousness? It is blue. What is the appearing object of this consciousness? It is blue. What is the apprehended object of this consciousness? It is blue.
Everything is blue. Ta tokshini, ta shenyu yo mares, ta tonda, ta shenyu mebaji. Ta karesna, angunzi mishe labayna, shenyu mebaji. Ta shenyu shaksati, topa kona lamato, ta tomegi shabala, shenyu se, tangeti yungu yo mares.
So you notice that the eye consciousness apprehending blue doesn't have a determined object, isn't it? None. Why? Because determined objects only are applied to conceptual consciousnesses. Only conceptual consciousnesses have determined object. Okay? Direct perceivers do not have determined object or... In broadly speaking, non-conceptual consciousnesses do not have determined objects. So determined object exists only for conceptual
consciousness.
Then the second subject here, the conception of an iPhone, a thought of thinking of our iPhone, yeah, or iPad. What is the object of engagement of this particular thought? So the conception of an iPhone is an example of a conceptual consciousness. Yeah. So the object of engagement of this consciousness is an iPhone. What is its object of the mode of apprehension? It is also iPhone. So why is iPhone the object of engagement and the object of the mode of apprehension of a conceptual consciousness? Thinking of iPhone. Why? Because earlier on page 3 it says there the object of engagement of thought or the object of engagement of conceptual consciousness and the object of the mode of apprehension of thought of conceptual consciousness and together with its determined object are mutually inclusive, isn't it? Right? So the difference now comes in the appearing object, yeah. So here we are talking about conception of iPhone, which is a conceptual consciousness, yeah. So its appearing object is different, yeah. It is not iPhone, right? Then the third example, thought remembering a movie. You know, you remember a movie and you're thinking. So that is a conceptual thought. It's a conceptual consciousness, basically, yeah. So the object of engagement and object of mode of apprehension of this consciousness is the same as the movie. So basically, it's the same as the previous example. It's just changing the subject. Yeah. But the way to think is pretty much the same. Because it is a conceptual consciousness, the appearing object of a conceptual consciousness and the apprehended object of a conceptual consciousness are necessarily the same. Yeah, they're mutually inclusive. So therefore, it is the appearing object and the apprehended object of this thought, remembering a movie, is the mental image of the movie. The mental image of the movie. Yeah. Not the movie, yeah, but the mental image of the movie. Okay, finish.
Can I ask you a question, please?
Wait a little bit later. I'll give you the time. Let me explain. I don't know how to explain here. I'm confused myself.
One can look at mind in terms of, or look at mind or consciousness in terms of consciousnesses which are non-conceptual and conceptual consciousnesses. Yeah. Okay? Conceptual consciousness versus non-conceptual consciousness. The difference lies in the way they engage their object.
어떻시니 가르세나 따디 따 세메슝 망보지라 빼나 똑바 수도가라 녹군조 바레스니 용부여라 빼나 똑바 세디 녹군조 바레스 세니 용부여라 똑바 세디 녹군조 바레 똑바 세디 추바레 똑바 세디 딥셰 딥셰 노래 세니 용부여라
So in many of the treatises dealing with valid cognition, conceptual consciousness is referred to as conventional awarenesses, conventional awareness or conventional mind. They are also referred to as mistaken consciousness, and also they are also referred to as obscuring mind. They are also referred to or called false minds. Okay? False. Obscuring, conventional, and mistaken. So it's a conceptual consciousness, an obscurational truth or conventional truth. No.
Yeah. Clear?
Okay, so a conceptual consciousness or thought, basically, a conceptual consciousness is a conventional mind, a conventional awareness. It is a mistaken consciousness, it is an obscuring consciousness, right? But it is not a conventional truth or obscurational truth. Why? You cannot forget what was covered earlier. What is mutually inclusive with permanent phenomenon? Conventional truth is mutually inclusive with permanent phenomenon, isn't it? Right? This we have to memorize the table.
Ta pena topa di ta lokunzo ba suduga la. Kasena lokunzo ba de tipse de ta karesna tena rangchen di thwa la to rangche ba di rangchen gi tena di thwa la tipse de rangche gi tena di sebo tong tu ya ma de topa di tipse de su ba
rangchen gi tena
A conceptual thought, a conceptual consciousness, it is called a conventional awareness or conventional mind because it is obscured. Yeah. In that it cannot see the actual object. The actual object. Right, conceptual consciousness is called the conventional awareness, the conventional mind, because it is obscured in that it cannot directly perceive the actual object. It cannot directly see or perceive the actual object. A direct perceiver, unlike a conceptual consciousness, direct perceiver sees its object, perceives the actual object directly, isn't it? Yeah? Yo?
That the Kadek as well, that the Natopa di Turan Sebong, Mosum Tonga, Kadek di Purisena, that Tunji di Puris, that the Tunji di Ransemba Nanshin Nanshi, and Tendil Jukuris.
So a direct perceiver can directly perceive the actual object, yeah. Unlike a conceptual consciousness. A conceptual consciousness is obscured, you know. It cannot see, cannot perceive the object directly. What is it that obscures the conceptual consciousness from seeing the actual object directly? It is the meaning generality, the mental image. The mental image of the object appears mixed, you know, as if it is the actual object, you know, to the conceptual thought, isn't it? Yeah. And this mental image of the object appears as the actual object, but it's not the actual object, isn't it? And then this obscures the conceptual consciousness from directly perceiving its object directly, isn't it? So the conceptual consciousness is therefore a false mind, yeah. A false mind, and it is not, I would say, not ultimate mind, I guess, but it is not the opposite of a conventional mind, because it does not see the perceived object in the way it exists. So therefore, a conceptual consciousness is a false mind. It is a mistaken mind. It's a mistaken mind. Yeah? You cannot directly perceive the actual object. Whereas a direct perceiver, a direct valid cognizer is called an ultimate mind. So a direct perceiver or direct valid cognizer is called an ultimate mind. Why? Because it is not, is non-mistaken. So a direct valid cognizer is a mind that see phenomena as it is, you know, like the way it appears accords with the way it exists. Conceptual consciousness is a conventional mind. A direct valid cognizer is a ultimate mind. Conceptual consciousness is a conventional mind because it is obscured, you know, it is obstructed, you know, from seeing the object as it is. So if you remember, specifically characterized phenomenon is mutually inclusive with functioning thing, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah? So, it is so, functioning thing is a specifically characterized phenomenon. Why? Because it can appear to the direct perceiver directly without the need for a mental image as the medium. So functioning thing is a specifically characterized phenomenon. That it has specific characteristics. You know, it is specifically characterized. You know, and that means that you know it can appear directly to the direct perceiver perceiving it. It appears directly as it is, without you know depending on a mental image. Yeah. It appears that it is, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, well.
That Taganashi, that Bena, the Taganashi, that Zizen said, you want it. Zizen said, the Karsena Bena. Zizen said, that Tunji, Jubala, Matoba, and it got chapter with your money.
Then you have the generally characterized phenomenon. Yeah, a generally characterized phenomenon are those objects, phenomena that cannot appear to the consciousness without. Going without, you know, depending on the mental image. So these are the terms, yeah. Like, you know, you have a specifically characterized phenomenon and functioning thing, and you have permanent phenomenon and generally characterized phenomenon, yeah. So you have to know the words and then, you know, try to then understand the meaning. So a direct perceiver is also referred to as a collective engager, yeah. Because you have to think of how a direct perceiver works. How does the direct perception engage its object? You know, when you're directly perceiving something, how does the direct perceiver engage its object? It engages its object, you know, without leaving any part, you know, of the object behind. You know? It engages its object completely, fully, you know. So the conceptual consciousness is different. Yeah? The way a conceptual consciousness engages in its object is different from a direct perceiver. Yeah, a direct perceiver, you know, it's called a collective engager in the sense that when it engages its object, it engages all the characteristics of the object, yeah? The whole thing, the whole package. Yeah? Whereas a conceptual consciousness engages its object in an eliminative way. It eliminates what is not the object in order to arrive at the object. It is called an eliminative engager.
So
So, you know, functioning thing and specifically characterized phenomenon are mutually inclusive, yeah. And I talked about what a specifically characterized phenomenon is, yeah. That when it appears to the mind, everything about the object, you know, the whole object appears, yeah. The actual object appears to the mind, isn't it, yeah. And the functioning thing, which is mutually inclusive, is specifically characterized phenomenon, appears to what? Appears to a direct perceiver, isn't it, yeah. It appears to the direct perceiver, the way it appears is that, you know, everything about the object, you know, all its characteristics, you know, appears to the direct perceiver apprehending it. When a direct perceiver engages in its object, which is a functioning thing, it engages in the entire object, isn't it? It's primarily concerned about the object, you know, looking at the object, perceiving the object, you know, everything about it, the whole package, basically, isn't it? Yeah? That is. A direct perceiver apprehends functioning things, yeah. Impermanent phenomenon, functioning things, specifically characterized phenomenon. And he engages in the object, you know, in the whole object. And he can do so without depending on any mental image, right? He engages in his object as it is, the whole package, right? And the whole package, everything about the object appears to the direct perceiver perceiving it. So, on the other hand, you have a conceptual consciousness, which is different, unlike a direct perceiver. The way it engages its object, you know, you think of something, you know, the way it engages an object is unlike a direct perceiver. It doesn't engage the object, you know, as a whole, the whole package. It doesn't even engage in the actual, I mean, it's not directly, you know, it's not really perceiving the actual object, isn't it? I mean, yeah. It cannot apprehend, the object does not appear with all its characteristics to the thought, but only, you know, certain parts, you know, of the object, you know, appear to the certain parts or factors or characteristics of the object appear to the thought apprehending it. Yeah, we can only, you know, apprehend the object via a mental image of the object. Via a mental image, isn't it? So when a conceptual consciousness realizes its object, it has to realize its object via a mental image, isn't it? Yeah? A direct perceiver is very different. It realizes its object as it is, and it's mainly coming from the side of the object, isn't it? For a direct perceiver. Everything is coming from the side of the object, isn't it? Appearing to the direct perceiver perceiving it, unlike a conceptual consciousness. Yeah.
Okay, now see. Huh? Okay, don't worry. I don't know.
Eye consciousness apprehending blue. And eye consciousness apprehending blue is a collective engager. A conceptual consciousness apprehending blue is a eliminative engager.
That in this Hindu kana, aswara. This Hindu kana, pena. Munzi Michela, Mumbo nine to kala. Mumbo nine to kala. Mumbo sopana yegi, mitapa. Chepa, Duce, Ze, Ransen, Kanga, the Munzim Shell and Ash, Tisungyar, Sadam Nangres, Natogres, Sadam Nangres, you can do the Chitawash, Kayabadi, Onshell, Nangres.
So, what appears to an eye consciousness apprehending blue? It is blue, isn't it? Not only does blue appear to the eye consciousness apprehending it, all the characteristics that are included, you know, in blue, for example, its impermanence and so forth, everything about blue appears to the eye consciousness apprehending it. Appears to the eye consciousness apprehending it, but we're not saying that that the eye consciousness apprehending blue realizes everything about the blue that is appearing to it, yeah?
어떻게네? 다 뒤네 다 먼지 똑바 놔두거나, 야 매다 와차이. 먼지 똑바 텔라 나와라, 니아빠도 텐시지 죽어야지. 지도거나 먼지 똑바라 나야디, 원본 난게 얼마도, 다 먼지 초바나 옆에 잡아당 미다 봐도 진소양, 그런 낭투구야 말해.
For a conceptual consciousness apprehending blue, how does a conceptual, how does thought apprehend blue? You think of blue now. It has to go through. You can only realize blue through a mental image of blue, isn't it? It's a mental image, you know, blue, yeah? Isn't it? It has to realize it blue through a mental image of blue. So, what appears to the conceptual thought apprehending blue? It is a likeness of blue, isn't it? Yeah. But only blue, that likeness of blue appears, yeah? But not the characteristics that come with blue. For example, blue's impermanence does not appear to the conceptual thought apprehending it.
Chibare ko chakpore ina ko samlo tangna yang ko tanga yuene shi. Pena ta pena kasore pena Datang Topa, Sutukunda, Yula Juba, Chiba, Chagur, then Datang Topa, Yula Junuka, Dadia, Sevacon, Jukuyor, Yula, Musum Nasin, Jukuyama, then Daddy Yula Junuka, Sevacon, Juba Sugar, Pena Mumbo Shibe, Daddy Mumbo Jugur, Mato, Mumbo Topana, Chabanamita, Jotumidua.
So the way, terms, yeah. Terms. Nomenclature. Terms, okay. Terms, okay. The way a term, how does it engage its object? What does it refer to? It's essentially the same as how thought operates. You know, the sound or the term, blue, what does it engage in? What is it referring to? It refers to blue, yeah. But the sound blue only refers to blue. It doesn't refer to blue's impermanence, for example. Although blue impermanence is a characteristic of blue, right? Isn't it? When we say blue, we're only referring to blue, isn't it?
Oh, that's not. Yo. Mumbo sibe dadigi mumbo chopana ibe chabada mitaba jugumidwa. Mumbo sibe dadigi mumbo chopana ibe chabada mitaba jugumidwa.
So the sound blue, the term blue, what does it engage in? What does it refer to? It is referring to blue, right? But it doesn't refer to the characteristics that come along with blue. For example, blue being a product, blue being an impermanent phenomenon, or blue's impermanence. The sound blue does not refer to the blue's impermanence. It's right?
주특이요 말해. 딱
The sound, the term blue, can only refer to blue and nothing else.
다 주연도 가라. 다디 원보 주연도 가라. 다 원보 시베 다디기 또 원보 초반에 봐 탐지 줘봐 있나? 다 원보 쳐봐 하시니 다 양 주고야 꼽아요 말아.
If the term blue can refer to blue and all the characteristics of blue, then there is no need to use terms such as blue's impermanence. Blue is a product, for example. You don't have to use these terms, isn't
it?
If the term blue can refer to blue and all the characteristics that come along with blue, then there wouldn't be a need to say blue's impermanence, blue being a product, blue being a functioning thing, and so on and so forth.
Oh, 다가나신 대단 충분하시죠. 다들인데 여보 충분하신 다들 예수 타면 똑바티기 다들 예수 타면 똑바티야 직과 차기야 여러 주인도 가나. 원보증배 똑바스 배나 원보시배 다들 예수도 똑바티 똑바티기야 원보라 주바래 마도 원보등이 제발로 죽두고요 다가나신 직과시.
So just as the term blue can only refer to blue and not all its characteristics, likewise, the conceptual thought apprehending blue that is induced or that follows from the sound or the term blue can only engage blue, realize blue, but not all the characteristics that come with along with blue. So the conceptual thought apprehending blue can only realize blue, but it cannot realize the characteristics that of blue, the uncommon, the characteristics that part of blue are basically. So therefore, when you realize blue, it doesn't necessarily mean you have realized blue being an impermanent phenomenon.
어떻게 재장하다 다 원보스다 원진 똑바디 원발로 중도가라 전지 제치무차교 전지 유인이 다 원발로 죽어야지 다가나시 원배등이 믿다고 죽어라 원배등이 믿다고 전지 나서 죽어야지
So in order for a thought, you know, when we think of blue, I mean, when we think of blue, the only way we can realize blue through thought is via the mental image of blue. You know, we have this mental fuzzy image of blue, isn't it? Right? Right? But when we think of blue, we can only realize blue. In order to realize blue being an impermanent phenomenon, in order to realize it conceptually, when we think about blue's impermanence, we can only realize blue's impermanence via a mental image of blue's impermanence. So depending on which of the characteristics of blue you're trying to realize, you have to depend on the respective mental image. So therefore, the conceptual consciousness engages its object, you know, not in a collective way, but only, you know, in parts, you know. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, when we think about stuff, I mean, that's
falling asleep. Huh? Lot of mental image. Huh? Okay, ask question now. Okay. Yeah.
看 Rinpoche, earlier on you mentioned about the sense power. What it sees is the clear form. Are you referring
to what it is?
When you see the image, it's a clear form.
The sense power itself is a clear form.
Okay, I see. The sense power is a clear form, not what it sees. So just now you say the sense power, what are the sense power? Or what is the sense power? Because I was thinking, you see, a sense power consists of many parts. See, you may have the cornea, have the lens, have the retina, have the optic nerve. If one of them is defective, we may not see the clear form.
Yeah.
That's my
question. No, it's not cannot see the clear form. The sense power, whatever the sense power is, we're not sure. We're just postulating that it may be this or that. But the point is, Glenn Rinpoche is saying that sense power is a clear form. The sense power is matter, is mutually inclusive with form in this system, and it's called a clear form. So that's, okay. Yeah.
I have to think about it. It's a bit confusing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Ken Rinpoche, just now the teaching was talking about can't see, if you can't see all the characteristics directly, it will be conceptual consciousness, invalid conventional minds and a mind that is a mistaken consciousness. So in other words, what we see, or what I see, for instance, I see whatever, wherever I lay my eyes on, are all just pictures, and no, I cannot see them as impermanent. Would that imply that whatever I see, they are all conceptual images?
Okay, you are looking at the object with your... You're thinking about it, you're looking at it with your eyes.
With my eyes, I'm seeing. Okay. Say, like, for instance, I see the floor now.
Okay.
I can see its impermanence. So would that mean whatever I lay my eye on would be a conceptual phenomenon? Because I'm a bit mixed up with, you know, like impermanence, and if you can't see is all his characters, characteristics like.
No. The word is appear.
Nang ta lap kore na kola ta tok se kyo maro. Ta ko nyeshe dimme to te tok kyo maro. Nang na nyeshe den to maro. Ta ti tsoba na chaba na mita kola nyeshe den to kyo maro.
So for direct perceiver, let's say an eye consciousness apprehending the floor. Everything about the floor appears to the eye consciousness apprehending it. Not only the floor, but the floor's impermanence, the floor being a product, the floor being a functioning thing, and so forth. We're saying that they appear to the eye consciousness apprehending it. But we also said that this doesn't necessarily mean that the eye consciousness is apprehending all these characteristics, yeah. They're only appearing, yeah. Yeah, in the flaws and impermanence appear, but your eye consciousness is not necessarily is realizing.
Yeah, I don't realize that.
So yeah, exactly, it's like that.
So whatever I see actually then is
conception.
So the thing is, not everything that appears is as to the eye consciousness. Not everything is ascertained. But Everything can appear, but it doesn't mean you're ascertaining everything that is appearing. This will come later on. You know, in the sevenfold division of consciousness, there is a consciousness that is called an awareness to which an object appears but is not ascertained. In the previous module, we have given it the name AAA.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have two questions. There are many phenomena that are mutually inclusive with established base. Many phenomena are mutually inclusive with permanent and impermanent phenomena. So these are all different names referring to the same thing. Right? This was what was explained to us. So I wanted to, my question is, the first question is, why are there so many different terms all referring to basically the same thing? For example, under established base, there are 8 different names, terms, referring basically to something which is an established base. Is it because these terms are used in different contexts? That's my first question.
I answer this first one. Yeah.
Okay.
The penalty module. Ko kwa lenda mito yamuro. Sheja se. The mitapa. The thanda sheja se. Yoba se. The toko chigi chane. Thanda kosa chigi na kosa mo dana mito yamashi.
There are many terms, there are many phenomena that are mutually inclusive with established base. For example, object of knowledge, existent. Although they all mean the same thing at the end of the day, they're all referring to the same thing. But when the different words are used, the way your mind, how your mind understands it is different. Yeah? You're approaching the topic from a different angle, isn't it? When you say existent versus object of knowledge, for example, right?
Oh, takana shin, tak ngopo pena mitakwa sudo kana ko yang kwa mendao shin, jiji jiji kito shi, ko mitakwa sudo kana. Takana shin, tak rangsen su taki jishi jaba na shin le, kwa lenda mendao shin wo shi, ro. Tak lapsa jiji le, ina ko sumo tangtung, ina ko mendao shin wo to rangsen sudo kana. Tak ngop mitakwa sudo sumo tang kaka yung wo to.
So, you have impermanent phenomenon and specifically characterized phenomenon. They are mutually inclusive, right? Impermanent phenomenon refers to momentary phenomenon. Phenomena undergoing momentary change. Yeah? Whereas when you say specifically characterized phenomenon, the meaning is the same. You arrive at the same understanding. But I explain what specifically characterized phenomenon is, isn't it? Yeah? Just now. So the way you understand the object is different. You're looking at it from a different angle. Although at the end of the day, you arrive at the same understanding, the same meaning. But, you know, when different words are used, your way of approaching the meaning is different. Yeah, different angle, yeah.
Second question, it's regarding conceptual consciousness, a conceptual consciousness being an eliminative engager, right? In the notes, it basically says that, you know, in your conceptual consciousness, you realize an object by through eliminating everything else that is not the object, right? Through realizing, by eliminating the non-objects. I don't quite understand that, and I was wondering whether Ken Rinpoche can elaborate that a bit more, because when I close my eyes right now, and my conceptual consciousness is thinking of my favorite person, yeah? it appears to me like everything is there. It seems that way. It doesn't seem to me that I'm eliminating everything that is not my favorite person to arrive at my favorite person. You know, so I was wondering whether Ken Rinpoche can elaborate a little bit more about that process.
Okay, next time.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Next time. This one, too long to explain. Yeah. Okay. Okay, 다 대신에 닦고 집만 꼭 가서 왔다 지금. 너 유라 죽당 돼야 닦고 무슨 유라 죽당, 똑바 유라 죽당. 닦고 삼로만 보셨단 말이지. 다디 닦고 제 집으로 다 타고 해서 가래. 너 말한 말 다 가고 싶어. 너 내가 다 소소 강토도 쓰러 쓰러 다 너가 지키여. 너와 배전 지키여. 갔다가 난 시간 동안에 쉬고 닦고 해. 너와 어찌 내 딱 고아때 수녀나요? 언제마? 아니지. 남 숨주 담으로 휴가도 해도 아니지. 다 배주 담으로 놔야도 진족이다 서번도 차투해. 너와 어떤데 차투했다 레와유 차다다 소소 휴장 잠깐에 대수 잡고 계신 거.
Okay, so essentially, one way of looking at you know, the difference between a direct perception and a conceptual or conception of something, you know, is basically, you know, lies, basically the difference lies as how the mind engages its object, yeah? How the mind goes into the object, how it understands the object, yeah. So this is a very important topic. Yeah? It's very important, but it is challenging, yeah. Even for myself, it's difficult, you know. But I try to, you know, think about it, and I try to, you know, gain a better understanding of it, a clearer understanding of it. So likewise, you know, you also should try, you know, you just try, you know, because what we are doing here now will become the seed, you know, for you to be able to understand the teachings of the Lamas in the future. It will become the seed for you to be able to understand, you know, some of those some teachings, you know, books or texts that you will come across in the future. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so it is important, but it is difficult. Yeah, it is challenging. And I guess the vast majority of you are looking at this for the first time, yeah. So of course it's going to be difficult, but the thing is not to lose heart, and you have to, you know, develop the courage, the determination, you know, and just move on, just try, you know, right? So this is what you have to keep in mind and think about. And so earlier, you know, I said that the conceptual consciousness is a conventional awareness, is a conventional mind, isn't it? Whereas a direct perceiver is an ultimate mind. Yeah? So with keeping this as like the capital, something, you work on this, try to understand, you know, why, what does it mean, you know, when, you know, when we say that a conceptual consciousness is a conventional awareness. Right? The conceptual consciousness is a conventional awareness, conventional mind, whereas a direct perceiver is an ultimate mind. Yeah. Direct perceivers are also known as non-mistaken consciousnesses, isn't it? Yeah. So whereas conceptual consciousnesses are known as referred to as mistaken consciousnesses as well. Yes. So you have to think about this, you know. You have to think about it, you know, why?
What in the Shinny, you could have touched the mind, what that is to come 야 딘데스도 야 똑바 건가 추발했어도 그래요. 똑바 아니 내가 제 매바 말 똑바 유치는 맛도 쓰기요 말 진짜 양다고 십자부 시작을 제가 봐.
Okay. Having said this, you know, you must keep in mind, you must also understand that when we say that all conceptual consciousnesses are mistaken, you have to understand what it means. This will come later on. You know, yeah? you may think now that, oh, all conceptual consciousnesses are mistaken, and it means they're useless, I don't need to think about stuff. No? Oh, no. Obviously, that's not the case, isn't it? Yeah, yeah? That's not the case. Yeah? So you have to continue to watch the show in order to understand, you know, what is the meaning of mistaken consciousness. It's not what it means in English, okay? Those of you who did the previous module, Stages of the Path of Enlightenment, Lamrim, in the section on the Path of the Person of Great Capacity, when we were talking about, you know, the wisdom and compassion, there was a qualm that was brought up, right? A qualm, you know, that there's this widespread belief amongst a lot of people that all thoughts are obstacles to enlightenment. If it is a conceptual thought, it's necessarily a mind apprehending sign or apprehending inherent existence, yeah, isn't it? So you see, if we don't really understand what is a thought, what is conceptual consciousness, we will fall in. We are in the danger of falling into this group of people thinking that if it's a thought, it's useless. No, it's like, you know, what's the point of thinking? You know, that kind of stuff. So from this, this is another example of how the understanding of philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, you know, like all these things that we're studying here, enhances the understanding of the Lamrim. It makes one's understanding of Lamrim perfect. Yeah. So keeping this in mind, the goal, the purpose, then you have to work hard, you know, try your best, you know. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
No? Yeah. Nothing. What? Do quick. Oi. I can do the dedication.
Okay, I'll finish off with the usual prayers. So, I beg you, Jimmy, do drum, rolling, Jim, and then get money, and you sing to me the Drugunanda Shila Chiva Shoyi Nam Gurura Nam Ndala Gani Adai Mi Gewa Di Nyo Duda Lam